the races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, about 10 minutes in, and I think, let me see if Josie got back. I think Josie Carroll is going to join us in about 15, 20 minutes, and we're going to spend those 15, 20 with Bill Downs from Indiana Grand. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Bill, a couple of things before we dive into today's stakes action and the pick five sequence, going back to the carryover on Monday, and we didn't get a chance to talk, but I was nauseous. I missing Brad Cox and the Kleins at 9-1. I mean, you really look at yourself in the mirror and you're embarrassed. I don't know how I did. I glossed over that horse, and I don't know why.
Yeah, you know, I think it was because he didn't earn like a really high number from the race, and so he gets a little bit overlooked. I mean, that has to be the reason. I mean, everyone knows that Brad Cox wins, especially with his, you know, the horses that have won before. He wins at Indiana Grand in an insane clip. So, you know, I felt bad because I only put him on my backup ticket, and I'm like, why did I put him on my primary ticket? Because that was the key to a pretty strong payout on that pick five with that carryover, where it was like around 25,700, and we got like over, 200,000 or something like that. So it was a very popular sequence on Monday.
Well, and it was not. What was interesting is, and I put up the play, and I really looked forward to it, and I didn't get a chance to, you know, to write it up until after we got off the air, and then the more I looked, I realized that it was going to be a little slippery, and it started right away when Rob the Rich, when the Randy Matthews maiden winner. When he took the money that he was taking and ended up, you know, just going a second choice because both he and Chasing Anna went off at just a tick under 3-2. And yep. When he took that money, I was a little edgy. I used him as a C. And so I was on the defensive right away. And I tried to single Chasing Anna, you know, for austerity purposes, and he did not run well. Let's face facts.
Yeah, that was I was a little surprised. I liked him a lot that day as well. First stars at Gelding, coming out of a very fastly. He said very toward early fractions at Churchill, going seven, and so it made sense that he would fade. And I just thought the layoff with the Gelding was going to be, you know, and on top of that, in a maiden special weight race, and not in a maiden claiming race. And look what happened. You know, still ran a dud, but that happens sometimes. And you know, Rob the Rich. Has lost to, he finished second in like three of his last four, and every one of the winners of those races were like legit. They weren't, you know, they weren't bums by any means. So, you know, it was his day, and he certainly won by over five lengths, and he was tons of best in that race.
No doubt. And there's that second leg we talked about. And you know, one of the reasons that Good One was almost 9-1, paid 1960, there were horses that had bona fides in there, including Secretary at War, who really did not lift a hoof. I liked Equal Justice, who ran well at a price. Bowen Nova, kind of disappointed. Roland with Nolan was a horse to consider. Jazzy Times, I didn't even like Jazzy Times that much, and went off favored, actually. Went off at a little under 5-2.
Yeah, and Jazzy Times, he had that, you know, kind of like that spike in form back in 2018 where he got really good at the end of the summer and whatnot, but he hasn't won since then. And here he was coming out of a, you know, stakes race, and you know, at Churchill, a great two race, and he didn't have the best trip in the world. And you're like, okay, well, when, why here? If you, you know, you would think that you would go to Kentucky Downs or something like that, but you run here. He didn't run badly. He almost got up, but good one, just set off a good pace from Merlin with Olin and Zip Away, and what's got the trip and got the win.
The middle leg, and this was a really good group, a good race anyway, and Miss Deputy Star, and I kind of landed on Miss Deputy Star, and I was a little nervous about the inside draw, but Sammy Bermudez has really, I got to mention, Bermudez, with or without Kim Hammond, has really kind of wormed his way into my sensibilities, Bill. I really like him. And he held this filly together down the stretch and turned away, you know, every probe that Touch of Justice was offering and Rodney Prescott. And Bermudez just kept her in front. I thought that was a really courageous effort.
Yes, if Miss Deputy Star didn't have the inside post, I most certainly pick the filly to win. But I was just worried because didn't get off to the greatest start in the world, then got to the lead and used some energy to get to the lead and took the pace pressure the entire way. Never really was clear. It was clear right inside the 16th pole was clear like a length, if I remember. But then Timeless Glory was sitting right behind Miss Deputy Star in Touch of Justice, and just couldn't get up for the win. And it, you know, like I said, it was a very vigorous effort from Sammy Bermudez aboard Miss Deputy Star for Brandy Steele, who is doing some good things here at Indiana Grand, another under the radar trainer, if you will.
The feature Kind Ants was really good, and she powered home and won by widening lengths under Marcelino Pedroza. Went off actually favored, took all the money, and I liked Kind Ants and leaned on her. And then we got to the nightcap, and this was a fun race because there was a half a dozen horses, Bill, I thought, that were eligible for laurels in here, and you could tell the public was struggling too. You had Firewater Jake, who was dropping, goes favored at 7-2. I mean, there were like seven or eight horses within maybe $3 of each other when they opened. And Scarlet City ran a terrific race. These were 17-5 claimers, and Manny Esquivel with Scarlet City, and you could tell approaching the turn for home, you could tell Scarlet City was moving like a winner.
Yeah, it was a good pace in the race. You know, you had Witch Doctor and the long shot Stewart's Rules going out at Stewart's Rules and the Sea Admiral, excuse me, going out at really too fast of a clip for that class level. And Scarlet City sat in mid pack in fourth, off the leaders by about three lengths or so, and then took over an upper stretch and drew off to win as much the best. And my pick, Amon A2, who shipped in from Canterbury Park, and her last race, he had all sorts of trouble, and it was a miserable start. Now, he had a little bit of a bad actor at the gate again in today's race, but he didn't get off to any bad start like he did the last time out. He got up, he won a three-way battle per second in that race, but Scarlet City was much the best, and ended that pick five and with that payout of $4,886.90.
Well, and you know, this particular sequence had the benefit of the carryover, so you know, further negating takeout, and it's a great bet on a daily basis, even better. And this was maybe the third carryover that we've had this season?
I would say we're up probably close to a half a dozen.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say about a half a dozen. I don't think I'm off by more than one there. Okay. But yeah, when it happens, it's all systems go, if you will, for the handicappers.
Let's take them through today, and we've got stakes pairing today. We've got the city of Anderson and the Hillsdale as part of the sequence. And even ahead of that, Maiden 16, two-year-old fillies going short. Then we've got state bred maiden specials on the main. These are three and up fillies and mares. The two Indiana bred stakes are the two-year-old variety. We've got six furlong efforts for the fillies is the city of Anderson, which goes as the seventh. The eighth is the Hillsdale for the boys, and the feature, the first level allowance, fillies and mares, turf sprinting as the anchor leg. So this is another attractive sequence. Let's go through it. Bill Downs.
Sure, the fifth race, that two-year-old filly maiden claiming race, and it's a tough line to make. We do have a scratch of the six talented Tapper. I'm going to hit my refresh here real quick on race day changes on Equibase and see if we got any more late changes, and they did update it, so let me do this real quick here.
Sure.
I know we're live and all that.
That's
I just
all right.
want to make sure I'm not mentioning horses. That's always the fun part when you mention horses on your show and then they get scratched. But
exactly.
I like to avoid that potential. And there's nothing in the sequence that is a late scratch. So I'll give you what I know as we go through. You know, I always look for class droppers for handicapping as well as making the morning line. And it's not often that you take a horse that gets beat by 24 lengths and make her the morning line favorite. And that's what I did with the two-horse Class Riot for Buff Bradley. Showed some improved early speed in a race at Kentucky Downs, and that's the key, going from a Kentucky Downs maiden race into a maiden claiming race, mid-level, if you will, here at Indiana Grand. They take the blinkers on. They're trying the dirt for the first time, and Class Riot is dropping into a win spot, I think. Others in here that showed some speed, Abby Swan showed some mm-hmm. speed in a turf race, then faded back to ninth, so finished dead last, just like Class Riot did in a maiden special weight race on the turf, albeit here at Indiana Grand. Lady Time, I showed a little bit more early lick, but, you know, dropping into a maiden claiming race. You know, you see it so many times, Steve, where, you know, horses don't do very well in the maiden special weight race, but you drop into a maiden claiming race, that's when you wake up, and you wake up in a hurry. So, I mean, this is a very difficult race. I don't know if I could put in a ticket and not at least go three deep in this race. I just don't know what to do with Class Riot. And, you know, she wins, and I'm happy, great, I move on. But I don't know if I can sit there and say, yep, single. This is a single for me, Class Riot. That's just this is a very, very tricky race, if you will, race number five.
Well, and it should be noted, you know, for those that are looking at what Buff's got here, this is a homebred of Mitch McMahon, and it's a Jack Milton, and of course Milton has got, this is from his second crop, right? I think he's got three-year-olds, and Jack Milton does get, even though Warfront and best known, you know, as a turf miler, he has been getting dirt winners, so I wouldn't worry about him getting a dirt winner in here. In addition to, you know, moving to the dirt, Buff puts the blinkers on, and he also goes first Lasix, and so, you know, it's kind of a reworking. And Pedroza actually a bit of a go-to for Buff as well as a rider. So I think, you know, Buff's throwing the kitchen sink. You know, the problem you got is this is such a group of suspects that even that firster, that anchorette, I think you at least got to think about. This is a daughter of Anchor Down, and let's take a look at Anchor Down's numbers with first out runners, because you know, this is his first crop. He's had seven horses hit the track, and he's 1-for-7 so far. He's got one winner that so, you know, pretty incomplete out of an Unbridled Song mare. Got to look her up. Grab
the car. And the good thing is, Steve, it's the first leg of the pick five. So if you're watching as you're wagering today,
yes,
in Indiana Grand,
board,
you can take a look and see, you know, look at those doubles, pick threes, and see if there's any action there. And before you put in your ticket, in case, you know, she might be one that's on the peripheral, if you will, in terms of whether or not you include her in your pick five ticket.
there's three siblings that have raced. There's a To Honor and Serve that was 1 for 10, Delta Force. You had an Uncle Mo filly, Mo Margarita, who is over 15, a four-year-old. And then there's Australis Temibly, a Tapizar, who's 1 for 7, actually, with two other board hits at a low level. And Gravatar herself, the dam, to give a quick glance here, let's see. She actually has got, she was unraced, but she did have a sibling, a New York-bred Congaree sibling, Shine Upon, who was kind of a decent, she was actually a pretty decent New York bred, if I recall, Shine Upon. So okay. There's a little to go on if you're curious about the firsters. And we got similar issues, Bill, to some degree, with the maiden special, second leg, 5.5 again on the main. And these are Indiana bred 2-year-old fillies. Three and ups, excuse me.
Yep. 8-5 morning line favorite is DD 730 for Cipriano Contreras. Showed improved speed last time out on the stretch out in distance and finished fourth. But you take a look who won that race. Wellington Wonder came back to win the Indiana First Lady Stakes next time out. So that was a better than average maiden race. Now she's been off since late July, and usually that's a concern. But you know, Cipriano Contreras does all right with short layoff horses. So therefore, I don't see how you can really throw her out of the ticket at all. Whether she's a single, I don't know. Just depends, I guess, how much you can come up with some others in this race. You know, Cake in a Can and Tiz Abbey come out of the same race on September the 2nd. Cake in a Can had many chances for Mike Lauer, 0 for 16. 5 seconds, 2/3, was second last time out, didn't have the best start in the world. Same could be said for Tiz Abbey, who had that rail post, got off to a sluggish start, but at least showed something in that race on September 2nd. But now we're only going 5.5 furlongs, and she likes to come from the cloud, so that's a tough formula when you're so far back at Indiana Grand. Julie's Encore ran an approved race. It was first time on turf on August the 26th, but they took the blinkers off as well, and it was her best performance. So was it the turf, or was it the equipment change? On top of that, once you figure that out, you're going to go back to a sprint race, and that's a lot of question marks with the three Julie's Encore. So, and then you got Pawn for Marvin Johnson, a first-time starter, who has that sneaky, almost a bullet gate to work out on August the 27th and might catch the eye. But Marvin has two in the race, and De La Cruz, who's normally his main guy, is on the other one. Our speed dial, who showed some early speed, didn't get to the front end and then faded back to fifth. Maybe she gets to the front end, and she could be a threat to lead throughout, because there's not a whole lot of early speed in here from the horses with racing experience. So maybe I'm talking myself into using our speed dial a little bit in this sixth race. But DD 730, I think, is a deserving favorite in this race, and that's just what I think about some of the horses in there.
Yeah, it's a bit of a it's a funky bunch of coconuts lining up in here. I will mention that you've got the fairly obscure when you mentioned Pawn and the Euro Silver Sun Gold for Cash. This is clearly kind of a backyard bred of Johnson's himself. You know, he owns, breeds, and trains. And Gold for Cash has only got three horses on the racetrack, but I'm going to assume that, you know, it's like Johnson's own stallion, and he does have a first out winner. And as it happens, the three horses that Gold for Cash has sired, they've won 6 races of 19 starts. So dealing with a bit of an obscurity, and sometimes you gotta kick a couple extra tires and look under a couple extra hoods.
Yep. So maybe use both of them. You know, that might be, yeah.
Just in case. All right, let's talk about the two stakes and the City of Anderson, 75,000, and the Indiana Bred program. It's been a great summer, and see if there's an emergent 2-year-old in here. seems like a pretty nice group. Only one maiden, Allie Mae's Revenge for Ron Errol. Everybody else has got, actually, I take that back. Sweet Justice, too, for Contreras is a maiden, but everybody else has got a tally.
Yeah, oh, we got a first-time starter, too, so Artie Fever.
Holy
obviously.
Cow, first-time starter, too. That's right, Artie Fever.
Yeah. But Diamond Solitaire, Diamond Solitaire lost to Hungarian Princess on August 24th, but Stephen Lister horses can make big improvements from the debut to the second career start. And Diamond Solitaire had a couple of, I thought, trouble spots in her debut, and that's when she finished third behind Hungarian Princess. Last time out, no trouble spots, and a massive improvement from Diamond Solitaire. One as easy as you would think when you win by 10, and Diamond Solitaire is a filly on the improve. Now, Hungarian Princess took on open company fillies in a race on September the 15th, and she ran into a monster from the Brad Cox barn and coach, who I immediately put in my stable mail. I put her in my stable mail after the maiden win, but that win on September 15th was tremendous. So I don't think Hungarian Princess really regressed off the debut. I just think that she ran into a more talented horse on that day, and she likes to come from out of the pace, off the pace. So you got to deal with that as well. But those are the two. I think those would be the top two favorites in the race. And this is I don't know. I'm trying to talk myself into some of the others in here, but you know, to me, this is either a single race Diamond Solitaire, or I go too deep and use Hungarian Princess. I don't know if this is the race I get too creative on in the city of Anderson.
Well, and part of it, I guess, it depends on your opinion of that maiden race on August 31st. Because Sweet Justice, the Justice Farm homebred filly for Contreras with Manny, that you know, just missed. I mean, he got beat a neck. And you know, I assume, you know, would have benefited from that. Came back and has had two kind of easy half miles for this spot. Sweet Justice feels like the other consideration. Gets us to the boys' race, the fourth leg of this pick five. Bill Downs with us from Indiana. By the way, the sequence, I should tell you, let me tell you exactly when it starts. 4:12 Eastern again today. So race five, of course. Now, race eight, here we are, and talk about this group.
Oh, well, it's the Hillsdale Stakes, and we do have a scratch of the rail horse, Shaconahay, leaving us with a field of eight. And when I'm making the morning line, since I'm going to make comments on what I think is going to happen, and I have lots of early speed in this race, and you take a look at, you know, over half the field has got a lot of early speed. And Bets Down, Let's Ride is a perfect 2-for-2 lifetime, 8-to-5 favorite in here for Cipriano Contreras. Defeated an open company allowance field on August the 11th. And he, in both races, didn't have to have the lead, but he's going to have, he can do that again. But this is a really strong group, I think, in this race. Joe Cool won by double digits in a maiden win on August the 25th and got a clear lead in this race. I don't know if he'll get a clear lead in here, but certainly the talent has come to the up to the top with Joe Cool, and Bob Gorham seems to have a runner with Joe Cool. And the one I like a bit, just because I think running style-wise he'll be running on late, is Private Union. Now, I'm not really thrilled now he inherits the rail spot, if you will. Didn't get off to a good start in that race and rallied nicely. And they're putting the blinkers on as well, which doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you're going to go to the front end or anything like that. Deshaun was aboard Private Union in his debut and is aboard again today. So I think that is important. He even leaves his namesake, Parker, right to the outside of him. That horse was named after Deshaun Parker, the three horse in this race. But you know, you got to go where the money is potentially, and Deshaun and his agent go with the Maker horse, Private Union, in this race. And Bets Down, Let's Ride, I think, is a deserving favorite, but he'll have to earn it today. Private Union is probably my top choice in race eight.
I can't argue with any of that. The six with the 2, 3, 4 as the B's or otherwise. And that gets us to the Turf Sprint anchor leg, the ninth, the last of the thoroughbred races, Bill, and this is a nice group. Got some scratch.
But you're going to be disappointed when I tell you who's scratch. The five bombshells of scratch, the long shot sneak peek, that's not a big thing. But Bourbon and Ditch is a scratch as well. And, of course, the main track only horse is a scratch. So this is, I took out probably my top two picks in the race with the 5 and 12. So all of a sudden I go from a race that I'm really kind of, I'm high on in terms of my opinion. Now I'm all of a sudden, I'm not as high on. So, this is a race for me that I'm going to have to spread a little bit. You know, Misty Blue is making her turf debut, but comes out of some Kentucky, high quality allowance races. Misty Blue ran on what, Oaks Day, September the 4th at Churchill, showed some speed, but that was a really good field. The whole Derby Day, Derby Oaks card, both those cards were outstanding with high quality fields, even in the allowance races. Millennium Force for Amos was up north in Canada for a couple races. Didn't have anything at least the last race wasn't that bad. But back here in the Midwest, has won on the turf at the Churchill Downs when she broke her maiden. So I think that she's back where she belongs. I think she's probably one that I would have to use in the race. But then you got some fillies in here that Gift Wrapped has run so well in so many races this year, four races this year, and hasn't gotten the win. But she's run winning races, and now with these scratches, I think the playing field leveled a little bit. Has an inside post, which unlike the dirt in a big field in a sprint race, I'm a little more hesitant. But in the turf, they put the gate on the outer part of the turf course, so I don't mind the inside draw at all at 5 furlongs at Indiana Grand. She might be one to use. This is all of a sudden for me, like I said, becomes a much more of a spread race for me than what I thought going in before the scratches.
I'll mention two horses at prices, and there's a chance here with the way with who's left. If Misty Blue doesn't go with Je Suis Belle maybe one of those that forgets the stop and. I at a price I think I've got to use the 3 Je Suis Belle, and here's Sammy Bermudez and Kim Hammond again. Princess Lilybug, who tries turf sprinting and ran at 7.5 at Lone Star. I don't know what that means exactly. En route to the maiden win and had dropped all the way down to maiden 16 to graduate, but that was a fast enough race to impact this. If Princess Lilybug, and I just everything I see every time I see Hammond and Bermudez, I put a little dollar sign. So this is a tough way to end the sequence, but there are a couple of places you might be able to tiptoe through. Bill, we'll be waiting for your tweeting. Bill Downs won, and Bill is hitting with alacrity when it comes to his best bets, and pay attention to what Bill's thoughts are. And good luck today, and enjoy the two stakes. Bill, we'll talk soon.
You got it, Steve. Thank you.
Bill Downs, everybody, and Indiana Grand. We're going to stay right here, and delighted to bring Josie Carroll back, and made the right decision with Larry Cordes's homebred Mighty Heart. When we talked after the plate, you weren't so sure about going to Fort Erie and doing the dirt. Josie, this is a serious horse. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Truthfully, the horse kind of made the decision for me. He came out of the Queen's Plate in such good order, could hardly keep him on the ground. So certainly seemed like the thing to do.
Hey, talk a little bit about, calling it a dirt debut. I mean, he did run on the dirt when he had that off-the-turf race at Fairgrounds in his debut. But that, that's back at the beginning of the year. So for this kind of an effort to go 1 3/16 on the dirt was going to be a little different. You obviously had plenty of confidence sending him out there.
Yeah, he certainly handled the dirt very well all winter, working on it, training on it. In his race, he was a little erratic over the winter, but that was his first start. He's a horse that has to learn things. He has, you know, he has the handicap with the one eye, and it sometimes takes him a time or two to figure things out. So I was pretty confident he was going to handle it all.
We didn't even talk about the one eye scenario after the plate. This performance, because everybody was convinced, or at least talked themselves into believing, that the way that Woodbine's Synthetic was playing on plate day, that was a big part of his success. And so, you know, having to face more pace pressure, that wasn't even an issue because he ended up stalking and then going. He showed a new dimension. I'm really impressed with him.
Yeah, I think it's validated that this is a really, really nice, really nice kind of horse. You know, when I talked to Daisuke before the race, I could see there was a lot of speed in the race, and I really wasn't worried about it if it got away from us. And I told him that. I said, there's a lot of speed. You probably won't find yourself on the lead this time, but don't worry about it. Just ride your horse. You know, he's a good horse. Have confidence in him. He's going to come through.
Unbelievable. And, you know, when he drew abreast of Clayton, you know, offered a mild resistance and then powered down the stretch. And the way he finished, you know, it's a little deceptive in the plate because, you know, he's alone and he's drawing off. In this case, it really seems to bode well for the Triple Crown try, you know, stretching out to the mile and a half on the grass.
Yeah, I mean, we're really excited. You know, as long as he comes out of this race well again, because it has been two very stiff races within 17 days. You know, with the COVID schedule, things have been compressed. But as long as he comes out well, I think we'll head that direction. You know, pedigree-wise, he's certainly bred to do that. I believe his sire won the Elkhorn. So, yep. You know, it's certainly in his genes.
And what are we looking at? 3 weeks? It's 3 weeks or
three weeks? Away. Yeah,
3 weeks. So, you know, it's funny, Josie, with the situation, you know, here in the U.S., there was no, you know, now there wasn't going to be a Triple Crown try, but it was already, you know, a little bit out of whack because of the way the timing spread. He wins on the 24th, and it's the real thing. He's an authentic Canadian Triple Crown winner on the regular timing.
It would be very exciting. I mean, our Triple Crown is a pretty difficult one for a horse. You have to win on three different surfaces. I think it takes an exceptional horse to do that.
Talk about Mr. Cordes too. We just touched on him a little bit after the plate. This is what's really interesting is what, you know, kind of a backyard bred he kind of is.
Sorry, I didn't get the question.
For Mr. Cordes, talk about how he's reacting.
Oh yeah, Larry loves this game. He breeds on a very small scale, but he is a student of pedigree, and he just tries to pick the best crosses he can for a reasonable amount of money.
Well, Dromedy has been exported, we understand, and I don't know what else Emma's Bullseye, the City Place Dam, what else she's got behind Mighty Heart, but you know, here's a chance for you to win a Triple Crown. What would that mean to you?
You know, that would really be a dream come true. To win the Canadian Triple Crown would be really extraordinary for me.
Well, and you won. That was what, your second plate? That was your second, your third plate, we said, and second Prince of Wales.
Yeah, I mean, I've had horses win all three, but never the same horse.
Right, exactly. I'm just looking here. Oh, Emmy's Holiday was your last. Was your breeder's winner.
Right, on the grass.
You know, the fun and the other fun part of this story is I mentioned this, you know, early this morning, Josie, that the way you landed with Fukumoto and that he's on the verge potentially of riding a Canadian Triple Crown winner with kind of a pickup mount. That's another element.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And, you know, the way it happened, I needed a rider for a horse a couple of weeks earlier, and he won his first stake race ever on that horse on Court Return. So when, you know, when I needed a rider for this horse, I thought, you know what, the kid followed instructions well. He thought on his feet on another horse of mine, and I said, you know, let's see how he gets along with this horse. So I had him breeze the horse, and, you know, he handled himself well, and the rest is history.
Exactly. And here we are knocking on the door potentially of a Canadian Triple Crown. And while we've got you, and before I let you go, and we certainly, you know, hope he stays you know, sound and happy the next few weeks, but let me also get a congratulations in on the fashion win on Saturday. And that was with Painting, of course, for Hillendale and for John and Glenn.
Yeah, Painting, you know, Painting's been knocking on the door of being a stake winner, just had some bad racing luck. She's a really good mare that I think is just going to improve. I've been fortunate enough to train so many of her family, you know, for the Securas. So it's really special to have her jump up. She actually has the same groom even that her mother had, so it's really a nice story.
That's pretty funny. I love that. Well, and that's, you know, that's the benefit of the kind of clients that you've got, and that includes the Donver people. You guys, you broke the maiden with the Amise Holiday filly as well on Saturday, Deja too.
Yeah, that was really fun. They had, you know, for personal reasons, they had kind of backed out of the business. They still had one broodmare, and I have a breeding right to Amy's Holiday every year that Mr. Dalos was kind enough to give me when we retired him. So I said to them, why don't we full share on your mare and my stallion season? And we got Deja.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I love it. And I'm saddened to hear that the Donvers kind of pulled back. They had the wonderful, oh my gosh, what was the filly?
They were. And it's been a while since they've been back in, but you know, hopefully this is just the beginning of something again for us.
Well, Josie, it's been a pretty good, it was a good weekend already, and then you put a big bow on it Tuesday, the trip down to Fort Erie, and a resounding performance by Mighty Heart. I'm still waiting, the fig hasn't posted, but it was racehorse time. It sure looked like it.
Yeah, thank you. It was a great week.
Nice few weeks ahead, and looking forward to a Triple Crown try in Canada for Josie Carroll, Mighty Heart, owner breeder Larry Cordes, and the very fortunate, it seems, Fukumoto, and one of these kind of magical stories that just kind of happened. Daisuke Fukumoto and Mighty Heart. So we'll look forward to, I don't know what stands in the way of Mighty Heart winning the Triple Crown. Josie Carroll, couple of big stake wins Saturday and yesterday. We'll talk to her, I got a feeling, after the breeders. We'll stay right here. We've got about 10-12 minutes to close out the morning, and Seth Merrow is going to join us and finish up the Wednesday get-together. Seth, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, nice story out of Canada. Shot out of the Triple Crown, and with the rejiggered schedule up there, I didn't know whether that was going to happen. You know, the these two were pretty close together, so it was nice to see Josie go over with the winner of the Queen's Plate and try yesterday at Fort Erie, and it'll be fun to kind of see if they can get a Triple Crown.
I mean, I don't know who's, you know, laying in wait or who might, you know, benefit from a mile and a half on the grass, but he has dispatched these two fields with two different styles, and there better be something, you know, pretty special if it's going to stop him. I'm kind of excited for everybody. It's kind of a story that popped up out of nowhere, because when we talked to her after the plate, she didn't think she was going to run him. But then she said he did so well coming out of it. Why not give him a chance? And boy, did he justify the confidence.
Yeah, and the fun of their Triple Crown is the three different surfaces,
yes,
which adds some question marks. So it'll be fun to see. But yeah, with the condensed schedule, it was going to be a question mark whether the winner goes on to the... But that's just it. If you're a week out and your horse is doing well, you kind of have to take a little shot at Triple Crown, so why not? So good for them for doing it, and good for them that they now go ahead with it. And Josie's great. When we're up there, we get a chance to interview her live. When we're you know, usually we make the couple of trips up a year for the Queen's Plate and the Woodbine Mile, which we didn't get to do this year, but she's easy to root for.
Very much, and has got a nice roster of clients. She had a big weekend. I actually was able to get a congratulations in on Painting's performance in the fashion as well. Seth, meanwhile, we're we got Preakness on Saturday, lo and behold. It's just so strange. And we're getting opinions. What's your early thoughts? How much work have you done on Saturday's card?
I mean, I pulled it up and taken a look at it, obviously, maybe a little bit interested in the filly. I may take a pop. I haven't decided yet. I got the look. But it looks like, you know, Authentic may get a little pressure from Art Collector, and we'll see if that makes a difference. I don't know. But I thought, given the style that Swiss Skydiver used last time, she was kind of sitting up. Now, she didn't get it done, but, man, maybe it'll pay off. Like I said, I haven't made my decisions yet, but I found her potentially a little bit interesting in there. I mean, it's a nice full field, and it's going to be a fun Preakness. It's going to be a very different Preakness, but we'll see how it goes. If Authentic wins, he kind of pops up to the top of the three-year-old class, so being a homer and kind of rooting for Tis the Law, I suppose I'm hoping. Either way, if it happens, then the Breeders' Cup Classic adds another little wrinkle to it, perhaps. And if he doesn't, Tis the Law. I'm not sure where the voters would go eclipse-wise at this point. Obviously, they'll still play out, and the decision may become much, much easier. But they both have a couple of nice wins under their belt as far as three-year-old grade ones, and we'll see how it plays out on Saturday.
Well, and of course, their resumes will look very similar. And I suppose that the Belmont Travers, under the conditions, is really very much equal to the Derby and Haskell, right? I mean, a mile, 1 mile and an eighth, 1 mile and a quarter, they both kind of equate. Then you fold in, you know, you got beaten the Santa Anita Derby, won the San Felipe, and so I suppose the Tis the Law backers, I could understand if they were voting for Tis the Law right now, but luckily and ideally we get more opportunities to see them. You know, the Art Collector story. What happens if Art Collector wins this race and you know, now suddenly, you know, he's on a five race win streak, including the Bluegrass and Preakness.
Yeah, except it doesn't have the same number of grade ones on the resume. But again, there's races to be decided down the road.
Yeah.
That could change things up a little bit. But he adds a fun wrinkle to the I'm sorry he didn't make it to the Derby for the connections and whatnot, but he has certainly a really nice wrinkle to the Preakness, no question about it.
Well, it's a crazy Saturday, Seth. I mean, you start to pile in you know, the Belmont card, which is going to be drawn here, you know, in the next couple hours. Keeneland may even have their overnight out. They typically, you know, not if it's not out yet, it'll be out in the next, you know, 40 minutes. That's going to be a killer card. And in fact, I'm just pulling it up. Let's see. And no, not out yet, but it'll be out shortly. And then this Preakness card. A crazy day Saturday.
And then the Arc on the weekend
the Arc,
as well.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not just across. It's not just across the country. It's around the globe, and should be a lot of fun. And last weekend, Improbable looked great. I took a little pop with him against maximum security, and that played out nicely. Top of the stretch, he kind of pulled away and looked very good. United, I thought, with those early fractions, you sat there and said, oh, he's got this race in the bag. But I don't think, when the final times went up, gave the last half a mile in under 46. So it was, even with the nice early fractions playing into his hand, boy, he came home like a freight train, and that was a really nice performance on the weekend as well. And Frenzy Fire just, again, validated his love of Belmont. He kind of got back to that form and looked good in the Vosburg.
You got something for today?
Well, I looked at Finger Lakes. I don't know whether I have anything super clever in particular. I looked at Finger Lakes, and on the one sheet on the Capital OTV website, it took a little pop with the early pick three. The first race, I went 7-4-2. Cross Keys on top. I always like to move Finger Lakes. Naira Horses coming up to Finger Lakes. It's a Jeremiah Englehart trainee. Gets maybe a little class relief as well with the price, but comes in from Naira, and that's always, to me, some potent class relief. Pippi in the second slot, up a good try last time and dropped in against some similar. And in honor of Owen Jr., moved from Tampa to Finger Lakes earlier this year, is putting in a couple of starts and going to include that one on the ticket as well. So in the first leg, I'd go 7-4-2. Second leg, I went 2 deep, 2-7. Bubba Chick on top, another one of those Naira to Finger Lakes moves. And this one definitely gets some price class relief as well. So I just think a little class edge on this bunch. And then in the second spot, I used Beach Pass, who comes in off a nice try against similar last time. They regret not using Otter, but I think Otter just may be better on the turf. But with the class relief, that might be mitigated. But I used 2-7 on the ticket, and I went 3 deep again in the last leg. 5, 6, 8, and 7 was the way I saw it. But I used Villainous on top, came in from out of town last time, and a big win for Jeremiah Englehart, which may indicate this is the one that if you wanted to pare down the ticket, you may be able to single this out the win last time. But I thought Charlie Baker, with the horse that started the career in the Klarovich stable, as the name indicates, financial stability was playable, and Wild Brown, potentially I thought could add a little value. I wanted to include that one off the nice win last time. A repeat of that puts the horse right in the thick of things. So in the third, 5, 6, 8, and 7, but I used the 5, 6, and 8 on the pick three ticket.
Well, and I'm absolutely delighted to get a little Finger Lakes push in, and we can mention that I think Monday is the Ladyfinger, and Tuesday the Aspirant, I think.
That sounds right. I haven't looked at the schedule in a couple of weeks, but that sounds right.
In fact, here it is. Here is Monday. The Ladyfinger goes, and they've got good for them. They've got not only do they have the cards drawn, they've also got the morning lines up and field of seven. And Irish Constitution, who broke the maiden at Saratoga and then tried the deep water, Ray Handel. This is a West Point partnered. Perrin Time Thoroughbreds in West Point, Constitution Philly, Irish Constitution, your 8-5 favorite. George Abro, who is everywhere. George's got, he's got a maiden in here that he's trying, but a maiden that ran very well at Saratoga in the debut. Finished second, beaten a half a length. That's Summer Brew, the 4. So I'll look at this on Monday. Oh, also, Party at Pages for Gold Star Racing and MC Stable, a gemologist from Maya. And this one broke the maiden in an off-the-turfer at Saratoga toward the end of the meet. So field is 7 in the Ladyfinger, and I'm guessing the Aspirant is on Tuesday. So we'll get Tony Callow. One of the most underrated race callers in the sport.
Tony's great. I have Tony on I used to have him on fairly often. Now it's a little less frequent because of its day-to-day race, but always enjoyable to talk to.
They've had a very good meet. The people that play it, have really enjoyed the season, and they're going to go for a while yet, and the racing's been very good, and they've been handling, $1 million a day.
Yeah, it's fun to play. If folks haven't done it, you know, on those days off, that gives you an alternative to kind of jump in and take a look. It's worth taking a look at, no question about it.
Well, and that bought me enough time to look for the aspirant on Tuesday, and the aspirant looks like it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, including Thin White Duke. Steve Crist is looking for another steak win off the funny side.
Very good.
I love it with Phil Gleaves. All right. I love it. He's got to be favored in there, I would think. Seth, back on TV tomorrow?
I am. Yes, I am. Back on TV through the weekend. We'll be looking at all the big stakes action on the morning shows and handicapping in the afternoon. Capital OTB TV.
There it is, at equidaily.com. Seth Merrow, everybody, and thanks to Seth and Alan Foreman and Josie Carroll, as well as Sid Fernando and Bill Downs. Good luck today. Talk to you in the morning.
For latest racing news, it's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Our Pennsylvania breeding program was, of course, impacted by the pandemic. Now, with our country getting back to work, we'd like to again talk about our program, the best in North America. Our breeder awards will remain up to 50% for PA-sired PA breds. Owner bonuses will also stay at up to 40%. Restricted races will again be run at all three PA tracks, and PA Day at the races will return. I'm Brian Sanfratello. For more, please visit PABred.com.